to start with,
while I'm preparing the presentation. This is, if somebody remembers movie Back to the Future, today is the day. We're in the future. Okay, so I'm going to give two presentations today, one very short Exchange Protocols overview, and I will also talk briefly about open specifications. I think it's important context that you need to have in order to understand Exchange Protocols and how different clients connect to Exchange. We had several talks about REST APIs for Office 365. It includes Exchange REST APIs. And that is future. That's what I want to point out. That is future, REST APIs. What I'm going to talk about in this presentation is protocol landscape from 2003 until now. How Outlook connects to Exchange, how mobile clients, how tablets connect to Exchange. So I'm going to talk about open specifications, protocol architecture, and talk about protocol families in Exchange. So open specifications is a very special kind of documentation. It is normative. It uses very strict rules. What content we put there, what format and templates we use. And important point is that they're designed to document bits over the wire and not APIs. In fact, we don't even use word Microsoft or Exchange or Office Windows in normative content. It's just very generic. We use special terms should and may, which you will find in any RFCs and open standards. We use those keywords, should and may, to document different versions, how different versions of Microsoft products handle situations when behavior is optional. And we use very strict document structure. Let me bring an example. So this is one of the documents in Exchange ActiveSync family of protocols. And I will just show you what's there. First of all, this table of contents, and it is huge, that I want to point out. It is very, the structure is very strict. You will find that every document has this. And it's actually very helpful. If you are familiar with this documentation, it will be easy for you to navigate. So section two is structures, and this is what data is going to be transmitted over the wire. And you can see that it's very quite big. Section three is common details. That's behavior. What to do with this data? What are the rules between client and server when they get certain data, certain packets, how they unpack it. And now section four is protocol examples. Then we should have security, XML schema, and a product behavior. This one is interesting. First, it lists what Microsoft products are using this particular protocol. And then there are behavioral notes telling differences between behavioral in certain releases. Like here's note 3 says that Exchange 2007 SP1 behaves differently from others. And you can see that there are a lot of them. You can see Exchange Server 2016 here. It's just recently updated. So it should give you some feeling about what kind of documentation it is. And Windows or Exchange knowledge is not required to use this documentation, really. Good starting point is MSRX Proto. It's an overview document. It defines Exchange protocol families and has walkthroughs for common scenarios, most commonly used scenarios. It shows how to use different protocols. I know that you cannot see what's on the right, but my point is that there are protocol families. This is RPC family. This is web services, also known as EWS. Later today, Tom Gibo is going to make presentation about Exchange Web Services. And there is ActiveSync. And other protocol families that are supporting. So again, we have three protocol families that are being used to access storage data. And we also have AfterDiscover, name service provider, which is access to Active Directory or to address lists in general. Content conversion and standard support. This picture, I want to maybe spend some time on it. You can see that Exchange has one storage accessible through several protocols. Those protocols getting to the same data, but the way how they communicate to the client is very different, and they serve different purposes. So again, Exchange ActiveSync is used by mobile and tablets. Like it's lightweight. I will talk about it a little bit more. EWS is being used by Outlook, and Outlook for Mac is using EWS exclusively. It's only EWS. Outlook for Windows is using CROPS. This is main protocol which is it's using, but for some features, actually new features, it's going to EWS. So RPC ROPS protocols, they are very old, implemented from Exchange, from first release of Exchange, which was in 1996. It was extended and re-architected several times, provides low-level access to Exchange storage. In fact, Exchange storage is mostly tables, not objects that you usually see. Outlook client actually creates events, calendar items, contacts itself, and maintains them. Transport layer here is ROPS with RPC binary blob. And important point that it's not about RPC, it's about this binary blob. We use this blob to translate payload from server to client and from client to server. What's in this payload is important, to the point that today we have a new transport called MAP-HTTP, which doesn't use RPC at all. It is using HTTP, but idea is the same. You transfer binary blob, binary data between client and server. I will show this diagram just to illustrate complexity of this protocol. So this is entire payload. It has binary blob, and inside this, ROP size is a pointer to the server object table, basically end of a series of ROPs, remote operations. And the difficulty is, in fact, that there is no end marker or null size for ROPs. So in order to get to ROP2, applications need to be able to totally parse ROP1 and so on. So, and there are 130 ROPs. So even if application needs to use just few of them, it needs to be able to parse all. This is very complex protocol. It's very, it's rarely used in lightweight or applications. Outlook is a major consumer. It is very efficient. As I said, client and not server is kind of logical behavior. There are 40 protocols and about 3,000 pages in this protocol family. Web services is alternative to RPC. High level of abstractions. You, if you use web services, you deal with familiar objects, message, attachment, event, calendar item, contact, and so on. It's implemented first implemented in 2007. And as I said, Outlook uses subset of it. Important point, new features are implemented here. Transport is SOAP over HTTP and 43 protocols, 2,000 pages. ActiveSync is lightweight, designed to lightweight protocol, highly optimized to use by mobile devices on unreliable connections. It cares about battery life. It is very popular, and a lot of mobile devices is using this. There are several non-Microsoft server implementations as well. Other protocols are NSPI, address book, auto discover, content conversions, and standards. Standards is, it's actually not standard, but it's a description of how Microsoft products are using standards. There is optional behaviors in RFCs, in RFCs, the way how open standards are being documented. And they also have may and should. So those documents explain how Microsoft products interpret RFC. Finally, test tool update. We have parsers for message analyzer for all major protocol families. We have new test suites recently released for all major protocol families. They are available. They are a good reference point if you want to look at how, learn how to use those protocols. And we are working on Fiddler inspectors. Here's a slide with resources if you want to use this kind of documentation. And we have 24/7 support in Chinese and English for open specifications across Windows, SQL, Office, including SharePoint and Exchange. Any questions? Good. Now, Musin. Yesterday, you heard several presentations about REST APIs, Graph APIs, Universal APIs. Those are APIs that are supported by Office 365 and basically cloud services. Universal API is available today in beta form, and we are releasing them very soon, Universal REST APIs. They're very powerful, and they're not just about access to the data, like access to mailbox, access to mail. Universal APIs are about also about access to relationships. They also provide very important important opportunity to build complex work, workflow solutions. What I'm going to talk about today is what's in use now, right now, today. Things that are in production and using REST APIs. These protocols are in use for more than a year. They're quite stable. I know some applications that already use them, and we are extending them. First of all, why use REST APIs? There are hundreds of millions of users, really. Office 365 and has huge user base, and Outlook.com has like hundreds of millions. User base is huge. We are also going to release hybrid and on-premises solutions. They are on roadmap. They are intuitive and very powerful. I will demonstrate it. Permissions. That is another great advantage of these protocols. Your application will get very granular access to user data. You can say, okay, I will let you read my calendar, but nothing else. It's based on open standards, OAuth, JSON, and OData 4.0. APIs are web-friendly. They are designed to use by web and mobile applications. So what REST APIs we offer? You've seen this slide, but I want to repeat. We have Active Directory, SharePoint, OneDrive, and Exchange. And today I'm going to talk about Mail, Calendar, and Contacts in Exchange. First, authorization and authentication. We have common consent framework across all services in Office 365. What it means is that application can tell service, hey, I need access to this kind of user data, like I need ability to send mail. Service turns to the user and says, hey, this application wants to use, wants to send mail on your behalf. Is it okay? If user says okay, then application gets a token and uses this token. It never uses credential. It never has credential. And here's how example of this dialogue that user will see. Again, the permissions are very granular. And to summarize, protocol is very secure. User authentication and supports multi-factor authentication and long-term access through refresh tokens. What it means, when application is allowed to access user data, it will get two kinds of token, access token and refresh token. Access token expires soon. It usually expires within an hour. Refresh tokens live much longer, by default, a year. So what is happening? When application, when access token expires, application uses refresh token to go to the server and say, okay, give me new access token. It gets new access token and uses it until it expires, and so on and so on. The reason it is implemented this way is pretty simple. It allows user to revoke permissions. It can say, okay, I don't want this application to access my data anymore. What will happen is that a refresh token will expire. Will become invalid. And the application will not be able to regain access to the data. This kind of APIs, current APIs, can use Office 365 discovery services to figure out how to access data in like SharePoint or OneDrive or Azure or Exchange. And it has rich service metadata. It lists all entities, collections, any entities objects that are being used. Here's an example of a URL, but I will show you what it means in demo. Here is one example of just how it starts. We have rich tooling, we have a rich set of tools. First of all, you can access those APIs through HTTP. Just plain and simple, HTTP. But we also have a series of SDKs. We have SDKs for Windows platform, for Android and iOS. We have Xamarin support for .NET development. And we also have hybrid applications in Apache Cordova. That allows you to develop in Java and HTTP. So let's talk about mail first. Permissions. It has three types of permissions: read, write, and send. Send is important because people get nervous when applications start sending in their behalf. So this is user needs to specifically say it's okay to send mail on my behalf to application. Read-write access will not allow application to send mail. Entities, collections, and actions. For mail, we have folders, obviously. In folder collection, we have messages. And in messages, we can have attachments. Actions. Actions are interesting on a message. First of all, CRUD means create, read, update, delete. You can also copy, move, reply, reply all, forward, send, and then create, reply all, and create forward. Create operations are operations on draft folder. And in attachments, it's what you expect, create, read, update, delete. Here are some sample URLs that can be used. In the first example, it's just access to inbox. In second example, you will get top message in the inbox. And one thing I want to point out is that me and inbox are aliases, they're shortcuts. I could also use my email name instead of me to get to the same data. Inbox, inbox is special name. Yeah, for calendaring, I will mention this in other aliases again. So what else? We have intuitive send API in this protocol family as well. Calendar. Read and write permissions. We have much more entities. We have calendar groups, so you can get to calendar group, get to calendar, and then in given calendar, get to events. For event, we have accept, decline, and tentatively accept specific actions. Calendar view, I will talk about it a little bit more later, and you also have access to attachments. Here are some samples. First example is access to calendar. And the calendar here, this is another alias. This is your default calendar. You can get to it in a different way by going through calendar collection. Finally, calendar view. Calendaric events can be very complex. They can have recurrence. And recurrent events need to be expanded. Recurrence pattern can have exceptions. Like you can say, okay, 2 years ago I could create an event. I will want to have lunch with my friend on Friday. And it will create meetings in your calendar for 2 years from that time on. You can have exceptions. Something you want to delete it, like you don't need it. You may move it to a different time, change location. This is very complex logic. The expansion logic is very complex. And Exchange server can do it for you if you ask for calendar view. In this case, you ask for calendar view for entire month of October. And everything will be shown as it's shown. It is shown in your normal calendar. Contacts. Here's what you would expect. Read, write. There are contact folders. You can get to particular folder in contact folder collection, and then get to a contact. You will get access to contacts in user's mailbox, but not in Active Directory, not in global address list. For that, you will need to use directory APIs. I think it will be much more simplified in unified APIs. Demo. I'm going to use Postman, and in this environment, I already provided my credentials, just dialog box that pop-ups and asks for user account and password. So I'm going to run those URLs against live service, Office 365 service, and let's try it. Here's your metadata. All of it, actually. All entities, collections, objects, and elements. Another example. Get top 5 messages in inbox. So here it is. So this is service metadata and for the message. And here's a message headers and message body. You have also have body preview and other information. Recipients and so on. Second message, the same. Headers, body, preview, and so on. Look how easy it is to get to this data. This is it. This is all I typed. And I got message in JSON, like actually 5 of them, in a form that is really easily parsable. It's like you can't compare it to AWS and or EAS or MAPI in complexity. It's just extremely simple. When I first tried it, I was so surprised. You can skip first five and get next 10. So what's going on here? I got five, then I get another 10. I can also filter, and this is OData. Here I'm requesting give me just from, date time received, and subject for top five messages. And you see, I have very limited amount of data, very short. Also, at the end, there is a link. There is a link to the next bunch of messages that if you execute this link, you will get to the next five and so on. And this is the way how you can process data in chunks. What's going on? If you specify order by, then you will get oldest messages first. And I'm just giving you examples and showing how, trying to show how flexible those APIs are. This is actually oldest message in my inbox. I have demo environment that I just created before the event. Attachments. I can filter for messages with attachments. And I can, in this example, I'm asking for count of messages with attachments. Let's try to see what's happening. There's 9 of them in my inbox. So I want to get top two messages and top two messages with attachments and receive attachments. So here's the URL I use. Top two filter has attachment for filter has attachment. Give me subject and give me attachments. OData metadata none means don't give me service metadata, just messages, and you will see that response is a bit shorter. So we have subject and large attachment, this is attachment header and attachment data. In this example, I want to get subject on messages with attachments without metadata. And here is all subject for all messages in inbox that has attachments. Let's talk about calendaring. I'm going to ask, give me all events that are in my calendar after on or after this Monday, October 19, 2015. But before I do this, let me show you what I have in my calendar. This is the same mailbox that we're talking about. You see, I have quite a few messages here. Sorry, quite a few events here for entire week. Let's try to execute and see what will happen. Just one. So why this is happening? You can see that Almost all of them has recurrence. They are expanded recurrence. Only one, this is event that was created on its own. The meeting that is just standalone meeting. And that's what service returned me. Now, if I will go to and ask for calendar view for the week from October 19th to October 25th, I should get much more. And I'm asking for subject, start, and end dates. You see, I have much more events. And again, they are parsable. You can, this information is immediately useful. Let me give you one example with calendar. Oh, sorry, with contacts. I'm asking, go to my contacts and filter for object with given name equal Garth. And here is the object. As you can see, there are a lot of fields that you will get. Most of them are empty. But there is a lot of information. This is basically full contact data is right here. What else? We have user metadata, who I am. And we can ask for extended, for full user metadata. That one includes links to calendar, for calendars, events, mailbox, for folders and so on. Questions on demo? Okay. We're getting close to the end of it. I'm here, and I think you will get this presentation. But here are links that I used, and some useful links. Sorry, not links. URLs that I used, and URLs that I think are useful if you want to start. Just examples. The roadmap. The goal is to enable more end-to-end scenarios. I know that notifications and sync are already available in form of in beta. And if you look at this list, you will see that the way where it's heading is to have complete access to features available through other protocols, exchange features available through other protocols. We're going to support Exchange Server 2016 on-premises and 2013, but I cannot tell when it happens. It's really close. The real challenge with on-premises is actually not in REST APIs. The challenge is in OAuth, because on a service you have trusted entities that can issue tokens, and on-premise, who you are to issue the token? That's a challenge. Outlook.com, now accessible, just a different endpoint. And as I said, unified APIs are coming soon. Same REST APIs, they're also REST, they're just more advanced. In fact, Exchange APIs in unified form are very similar to what you see today in this presentation. And as I said before, they are perfect for complex workflow-based solutions. We have plenty of code samples on GitHub. Do I have time? No. One of the tools we recently developed for our partners is MailSim. MailSim is mail traffic emulator to be used by man-in-the-middle solutions like network traffic accelerator. The idea is that this tool generates realistic traffic, network and messaging traffic between client and server. They put their device in the middle and test their device. And the way it's implemented, we have support for Outlook, where we take real Outlook, just real Outlook, and use Outlook object model to generate traffic, direct it to generate traffic, send email, move items, and so on. We also developed extension that is using REST APIs instead of Outlook. And in fact, we implemented in two forms. First provider is using SDK, and another provider is very interesting. It is not using SDK, it is HTTP only. And this is done to create example how to use HTTP and nothing else to do authentication, how to deal with refresh tokens. You can see it in this open source project as an example. And more open source applications are in the works. We are working on calendar application as well for Android, and we are going to publish it on GitHub here. Important point that I want to make is that we're also trying to not just create samples that compiles, but also create a real solution, and which is useful, and put it on GitHub as code that you can use, like reference implementation. Resources. Dev.office.com, of course, is good. It's where you should start. Take a note that API endpoints for China are different, and here's a link that explains it. Questions? Okay, thank you.
大家有什么问题吗？ Thank you.